Morning Miracle Life, we're so glad that you could be with us this morning, and we had a wonderful time in worship as we glorify God. He is a good God, and we're so grateful that we have opportunities where we can just worship Him, we can glorify His name. This morning, I'd like to pick it up from where Pastor Walker left it off last week, and indeed we started the book of Romans. Wonderful book that will bless you as a child of God. Wonderful epistle. And so we'll be looking at Romans chapter 2. Pastor Walker started Romans chapter 1 last week and covered quite a number of points. And so we'll be able to build up. But obviously, like he said last week, I'd like to just re-echo is that please note that we will cover the whole book of Romans. And so that means that what we will cover today is just some extracts and some bits of it. So don't feel like, I'm still waiting for the juicy part. This is going to be great as well, but we're building up towards a case, towards something. So please ensure that you listen through in case you missed last week. I encourage you, please download or at least go back to last week's sermon, listen through, and you'll be glad that you did. And therefore, we'll continue from there. Well, this morning, I'm reading from the book of Romans chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verse 1 through to verse 4, and I'll be able to pick up some more scriptures thereafter. Romans 2 verse 1 says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? And do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" I love that, the last part. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Well, in Romans chapter 1, we saw that Paul confronts the hedonist, and he was confronting sin and some of the actions that we saw, and we learned under how that the Bible is also talking about addressing those that were living in sin, but also the inventors of evil continuing to live in evil, and how that God gave them up to themselves, and they began to do things that were unnatural and living lives that were not natural, as it were, as God would design. Well, in chapter 2, Paul also addresses and deals with another group of people, and these are what would be called the judgmental moralist, or those who would pass judgment on someone else. And coming from chapter 1, you probably understand that Paul obviously is talking to these people that were judgmentally simply because of the people that were defined in chapter 1. And so he begins to address chapter 2, different people here. So those that probably might be condemning those in chapter 1, condemning and judging those that were in chapter 1 who were thinking, these are sinners, or these were living reckless lives that have been given over to themselves. But also Paul addresses those as he's building up to help us understand our righteousness in Christ Jesus. But then he addresses this. So, who are these judgmental moralists, you would call them? Well, a judgmental moralist would just be someone who filters God's grace through his own opinion. So, they would think of God's grace based on how they feel themselves or their own opinion. Or someone who dilutes God's mercy with his own prejudice. And it's a great example that we can see in a number of scriptures. But I'd like us to look at one example that will help us today. And that example is from the book of Luke and chapter 15 and verse 25. In Luke chapter 15, verse 25. This is a story of a brother that was fault finding, and he was obsessed about the fault finding of his brother's sins, but he was oblivious of his own faults. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 25, it says, "Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. Because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This is a very beautiful scripture. And if we look at, because we're talking about the judgmental moralists or people that would be condemning and that Paul is addressing here, and the great example is the brother of the prodigal son, because now the prodigal son had gone away and come back home. And having come back home, he's received by the father. But we see how that the brother does not respond in a way that we would expect, because the brother was lost. He responded differently. And sometimes this is how we are, sometimes as believers, how that we condemn even those that seem to be living in sin, or necessarily those that we think are lost. And Paul here is addressing this to say, even when you condemn, don't think you are right standing yourself, because you are equally doing the same. In fact, I love what the Bible says here. He says, so when he called, in verse 26, says, when he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant, he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fattened calf. But he was angry and would not go in. So he's angry, goes mute, probably goes on a silent treatment and just locks himself up. I wonder how many times we do that, children of God. But there's something that follows there. He then says, therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. His father came out and pleaded with him. The father notices something, said, this is not the way it should be. This is not the way you should respond. He comes out to plead with him to say, come. But he answered and said, all these years I've been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. Let's pause right there. Do we think it's really true that he had never transgressed any of his commandments at any particular time? I don't think so. But you see, he was judging and considering himself self-righteous in this case, and he thought he was okay, and he even states to say, I have never committed any transgressed against your commandments at any time. And that is how people that go about just criticizing and being judgmental, that Paul is addressing here, would live their lives. Because we begin to forget even the very things that we do, even the mistakes that we have made. Because why? We just go out all condemning and looking out for the bad in others, and we forget the bad that is in us. And in fact, the Bible says here, the father reminds him to say, look, this your brother was dead, he is now alive. He was lost, he has been found. So it is not our job to be the judges. It is not our job to hold the gavel and begin to hit and begin to condemn and say, you are guilty. That is not your role. That is not your role. Another example we see in the Bible is that of the worker. The Bible talks about, Jesus talks about a story of people that were working at different shifts and different times. There are others that came in the morning, others that came later and worked for an hour. There was one that worked 10 hours. And they were all paid the same wage. In Matthew chapter 20, if you read from verse 1 to verse 16. But we see how that the worker who did the 10-hour work was not happy. He says, there's no way, I worked for 10 hours. Why should I get the same with this one who has just worked for an hour? And because he was viewing it based on his own perception, based on his own opinions, he was judging to say, it is not fair, it is not right. Because even I should get more. Why should I get the same amount as this one who has just worked briefly? So if we look at verse 2, of Romans chapter 2, God judges those who do wrong, yes. And we know that when God judges, his judging is right. Because the key word there is judges. He judges. It is one thing to have an opinion, child of God. It is another also to pass a verdict. It is one thing to have conviction. It is also another to convict someone. It is one thing to be repulsed and hate the acts and sin of another person. But it is entirely another thing to claim that we are superior than the person that we think was living or doing the sin. And for us to begin to think that somebody is beyond the grace of God is wrong. And Paul is addressing this to say you should not think of yourselves this way, because the moment you begin to judge, you yourself condemn yourself. You condemn yourself because why? You do the very same things. Because, in fact, somebody put it this way. Many of the times when we're pointing a finger at someone, the other fingers are actually more fingers are pointing at you. Because you probably are walking in the same path by condemning others. So it is not our job to do that. Our job is to hate sin. Our job is to walk away from sin. But God's job is to deal with the sinner. It is not our job to deal with the sinner. It is God's job to deal with the sinner. God has called us, yes, to despise evil, to hate evil. But he never called us to despise the evildoer. Take a minute and pause and think about this. How many people have we seen that live in sin and yet we hate them because they live in sin? Yet God calls us to love them, to show the love of God to them. In fact, in Romans 2, we read earlier, he says what? The goodness of the Lord draws men to repentance. It is us showing the love of God to them that will cause them to come to Christ, not by hating them. We should hate the sin, not the sinner. We should love the sinner. We should show love to them. We should be a light to them. That is how we will draw them. That is how we will cause them to come to Christ. Not by hating them. Not by treating them in the way that we think, oh, that is the way they should be treated, in a bad way, and condemning and judging them. No, that is not the way we do it. Because it's not our job to judge. It is God's job to judge. But you see, it is so sweet. And sometimes so good it seems to judge people, to despise people. Because we take delight in that. And you see why sometimes it seems so delightful to judge others? Because I don't know if there is anything that is so self-satisfying than donning the robes and being the judge and basically saying, you were wrong, I was right. You know that feeling when you get to the place of realizing, say, oh, what I was saying, I was actually right. You were the one who was wrong. You kind of feel entitled. That self-satisfaction that we get. And sometimes we ride with that even in our walk with God. And that is not what God has called us to do. He has not called us to be the judge there. And so the other thing we notice is that judging others is the quickest or the quick and easy way to feel good about ourselves. Because when we judge others, we feel like I'm better than you. It's more like I'm standing up at a different level than where you are. Because I did better than you. You missed it. I didn't. The prodigal son's brother. The elder brother. What did he say? I have worked and saved you all this time. In fact, I have not even committed any transgression against your commandments. But this your son. This son of yours. Can't even say my brother. This son of yours who goes and wastes money with harlots and wastes money and everything and your livelihood, wastes it out. He comes back, you want to receive him like this. Why is that so? Every time I read that scripture, I find it interesting. How did the brother know that the guy was wasting money over harlots? I wonder. And you see, sometimes we all project. And we just think of, yes, I am better because you didn't do this. I am better because I pray 3 times a day. I am better because I do this and that. That is not what God has called you to do. Because when we live like that, you're living exactly like those you're condemning. God is the judge and not you. Because we cannot compare ourselves even with the standards that God has set for us. So, much as you may feel good about yourself, much as we may feel good about what we think is the right standard, we don't measure up to God's standard. We don't. Sometimes we compare ourselves and begin to think, ah, Lord, compared to him and her, I think I'm not bad. I'm not too bad. I think I'm better, Lord. But you see, the problem is that we're comparing ourselves to a person and to a human being. God doesn't compare us with them, the people that we're comparing ourselves with. That is not the standard. That is not God's standard. God is the standard. God is the standard. And if you ask Paul about this, he will tell you in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. No, not one. Meaning to say, we fall short of the standard. Because God is the standard, not the human being, not the person you're comparing yourself with. Because if it was the person, yes, you probably meet the standard. But God is the standard. And so we cannot begin to say, Lord, I think I'm much better because I'm better than them. That is not the standard. That is not the standard. I'd like to read Romans 2 again from the Message translation to help bring it out to life. He says, those people are in the dark, are on a dark spiral downward. But if you think that leaves you on a high ground where you can point your finger at others, think again. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourselves. It takes one to know one. It takes one to know one. Like sometimes they say, it takes a thief to know a thief. It takes one to know one. Judgmental criticism of others is a well-known way of escaping dictation in your own crimes and misdemeanors. But God isn't so easily diverted. He sees right through all such smoke screens and holds you for what you have done. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he would let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he is not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. That is the God that we serve. He's not the God that who overlooks sin. No. And this is not to justify that we shouldn't condemn because people should continue living in sin. No. But the thing is that even those that were described in chapter 1 that were doing the wrong things that we were hating and the things we thought, this is not good enough. We have no right to begin to condemn and point fingers and criticize. Because why? We are not the righteous judge. There is only one righteous judge. But then why is it important? Why should we not judge others? Why should we not do that? Why should we not judge others? I have 2 points that I'd like to share with you this morning. Why we should not judge others? The first one is that we are not good enough ourselves. We are not good enough. We are not good enough that we'd be able to judge. Because if we were, we were supposed to be at the different standard and the perfect, we are supposed to be perfect. And then we would have the right to be able to judge. So imagine if God simplified everything. And probably God said, for you to be saved, you probably just need to jump and touch the clouds in a single jump. We would all probably be trying to jump and we would not meet the standard. But then the thing is this, there might be a few of us who might be jumping a few centimeters higher than the other. It would not give them any right to begin to condemn those of us who will be jumping a few centimeters less than them. Because everyone would not have met the standard, would not be able to touch the clouds. And so, God hasn't called us to obviously touch the skies that he might set us free. No. It is because of Jesus that we have been washed by the blood of Jesus. In fact, it talks about that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but we've been justified because of the finished work of Christ, because we have accepted Christ. And that is why if you and I, if we were to put a sinner and myself or anybody that is not saved and we put us together, remove Jesus, we are all the same. The only difference is that you and I have Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's the one that redeems us, and therefore, He's the one that set us free. And that's why we cannot begin to walk in criticism and begin to judge. And Paul addresses that and says, do not live like that, because you condemn yourself. You live in condemnation like that when you live like that. Why? Because God is the standard. And how is He the standard? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, He says, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is the standard. So we ought to be like our Father in heaven who is perfect. And many times we fall short. Many times we miss the mark. But we thank God for His mercy and His grace. So we don't meet the standard. We're not enough in and of ourselves. With our own strength, with our own abilities, we cannot meet it. And that is why even the law, we could not fulfill the law by ourselves. We needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. So of our own works, in fact, the Bible says, our righteousness is like filthy rags. We don't meet the standard. We are not good enough by our own deeds, by our own works. We are not good enough. And that is why we don't go to heaven because of we've been good, we've been doing good, we've done this and that. No, it's because we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. It's because we have accepted Jesus. That is not because, that's why heaven is not just filled with people that are good. Yes, they are good, but it's filled with people that have been forgiven. People that have accepted Christ are the ones that we find in heaven. Because if it were by our own goods, everyone would be saved. Everyone would be saved. So none of us can meet the standard that God has set for us. As a result, none of us deserves to judge others. Us trying to judge others would be like me going before a psychiatrist with some mud in my hair, some bacon braid, and going and probably some shima in my hair, and going before a psychiatrist and saying, I'm here on behalf of my brother who needs help. It'd be crazy. I'll be the one that needs the help. So we cannot be the judges. When we try to condemn others, many of the times it's because we're trying to look so good. Have you ever noticed that mostly this strategy has been there for a long time and kids also use it? How that you will find kids or children will want to ensure dad or mom is angry with the brother so that whatever mistake they made should be forgiven. But that is not God's way of living. That is not God's way. Ultimately, we are not good enough to judge. We don't meet the standard. In fact, Max Lucado put it brilliantly. He said, can the hungry accuse the beggar? Because we are the ones as well in the similar state. Or can the sick mock the ill? Can the sinner judge the sinner? No. There's only one who can judge. There's only one who can judge. There's only one who qualifies to judge. And that one is neither watching via Facebook or YouTube right now. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our God, loving Savior. He came and died for us. He's the one that qualifies. The second point, why we shouldn't judge and walk in such a path of criticism of those that we described in chapter 1 that were listed, is that we do not have enough information. We don't have enough information to judge. We don't have enough information to judge. This is because when we judge people, when we think of people, we view them based on face value, what we see on the outside. We view them, we judge them based on what we are seeing on the outside. We never get to understand where they're coming from and their past and what has happened. So not only are we unworthy of God's standards, we are unqualified to judge. We are unqualified. You see, sometimes we mock somebody or we mock the fear in someone's eyes, But we have no idea of the many stones and darts that they've ducked to get to where they are. Sometimes we look at somebody and we judge them for what is happening in their lives, and we never understand what they've been through to get to where they are. And when we think of this, for me, I remember how that sometimes back in the days I would probably think of my parents and thinking, enemy of progress. Because many of the times they would be trying to bring in discipline and help to give us a great life ahead. It's only that when I grow up and begin to realize, to say, these people actually loved me so much and were trying to help me. Because probably they had gone through some experience and they never wanted me to go through the same. But I judged based on what I saw, never knew what was coming, what they had gone through behind them. And many at the times we judge based on few or little or limited information, as it were. Or maybe we mock someone because they are too slow in what they do, not knowing that maybe the last time they try to hurry and do things quickly, they fail. And so they've learned to say, maybe I should be slower. And that's why they are slow today. There's only one, like we've said, who can judge. But there's only one who followed their yesterday's steps that can be able to judge them. Not only are we ignorant about yesterday, we are also ignorant about tomorrow. How can we judge a book whose chapters are still unwritten? Because someone said this, and I loved it so much. He says, never put a full stop on someone who's still alive. Never conclude. And so when we judge, we limit ourselves because all we see is what we are seeing on the outside. Because many of the times we conclude, but it's based on limited information. But we ought to be careful. Why should we be careful? We ought to be careful because Peter, who denies Jesus at tonight's fire, may proclaim him with fire at tomorrow's Pentecost. We need to be careful because the Samson, who is weak and blind, may use his final strength to level the pillars of godlessness. We need to be careful because the stammering shepherd of this generation might be the mighty Moses of the next generation that sets the children of Israel free. We need to be careful as we judge. Because as we're thinking, we're judging and condemning, we're thinking we're doing it from a place of limited information. We do not know. We need to be careful and not call Noah a fool because we've never seen the rain. We've never heard of anything called rain, and he says it will rain, and you're thinking, who are you? And thinking Noah is a fool because tomorrow you may be asking him for a lift. We need to be careful. Do not judge. Leave it unto God. And this doesn't mean that those in sin should continue to live in sin. No. Look to Christ and be set free. And he will forgive you and set you free from everything that holds you. Because why? The goodness of the Lord brings men to repentance. The Bible gives us a story in the book of Luke chapter 23. Of a criminal who's been condemned, who was condemned to death. About to die, and these were his final words, and he's thinking what to do. Obviously, he looked at the people he had wronged, probably the families he had wronged. And he had done so much evil and horrible things. But you see, when he was about to die, he did not look to the government or to the people around him to ask for mercy and grace. He turned around and looked at a man who was full of blood hanging on a tree. And he asked him for grace and mercy. And he asked him and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him by saying, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, he said, do not worry, I will. Today, you will join me in paradise. Today, you will join me in paradise. For those of us that probably you're still living a life that was described in last week in chapter 1 of reckless life and just living in sin, probably addicted to porn, or like Pastor Walker described it, a porneia or sexual sin or whatever it might be. Look to Jesus. And he says, I will. And today you would be with me in paradise. He's simply saying, I will give you life. He will set you free because the goodness of the Lord draws men to repentance. But not only that, he will forgive you of your sin. Children of God, Jesus did not condemn this man, but he accepted him. And in accepting him, this man was saved. But sometimes if we look at it critically, this man lived all his life probably in sin. At the last moment he gave his life to Christ, he was set free. In case you're there, you're struggling with whatever issue that might be, I encourage you, look to Christ. He neither condemns you. He loves you. He's the reason why he came and died for you. And for all of us, instead of being godless judges, let us look to the cross where we can obtain mercy and grace. Let us look to the cross. Let us look to the cross and not be people that condemn. Let us show forth the love of God, that the people that are living and bound in sin will experience the goodness of God. And when they do, they too will call on the name of the Lord. How will they call on the name of the Lord whom they have not heard? How will they hear if we are not showing and preaching the gospel? Preaching the gospel is not always proclaiming and speaking like this from a pulpit. Sometimes preaching the gospel is through your lifestyle, how you live. But if we are judges and we critiques, we end up causing people to run away. Think of this. Sometimes as believers, we've been the ones that have caused people that are not saved to run away from church. Ask yourself, in my community, am I the one that is drawing people to Christ? Or am I one that is causing people to run away from Christ? Be the one that causes people to be drawn to Christ. Shall we bow our heads and pray this morning? Thank you, Father. God is calling us to live according to his standard, not according to the standards that we make of ourselves. And his standard is that he is a holy God, he is a righteous God. He has called us to be perfect like he is. But that does not happen in your own strength. That does not happen in our own will or by our own deeds. That happens as we yield and trust in Jesus. Because he's the one that sets us free. He's the one that helps us. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you that you've not called us to judge others. We're not good enough even to judge. We don't even qualify. We speak from one side. We don't even know the whole story. But you who knows yesterday, you know today, you know tomorrow. You are the righteous judge. Father, we thank you that you are the one that qualifies us to be your children. Thank you, Father. Oh, we submit to you, Lord. Help us to walk in the light of your word. Not to be condemning others, but to show forth the love of God that will draw men to repentance, that they too will experience the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Peradventure, you're listening, you're watching, be it on YouTube or Facebook, you've never given your life to Jesus. You have not lived, or you're not living your life for Jesus. I'd like to give you an opportunity. Yes, we're saying that we as human beings should not judge, but we have established and said God is the righteous judge. He will definitely come and judge. He is coming. But if he comes tonight, or if he were to come tonight, the question is, will he find you and be able to call you his own and take you to heaven? Or you would miss heaven? If you're not sure about whether you would go to heaven today if you were to die, or if Jesus was to come, I'd like to ask you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Turn away from all sin and begin to follow him and live for him. He wants to help you like he set free that man on the cross who has to be remembered. And if you're saying, Pastor, I would like to accept Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, God, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Today I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe he was raised from the dead, and therefore I confess him as my Lord. I am forgiven. I am now your child. Thank you for setting me free. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, you are a child of God. You have been set free. You're not condemned. You are loved by God. You're loved by God. You're not condemned. He does not hold that sin that is in the past against you. He loves you so very much. And so in case you pray that prayer and you're on Facebook, just please just let us know in the comment section that I am born again. I have prayed this prayer. I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And somebody will reach out to you. In case you're on YouTube, there's a number on the screen. Please just text that number and saying, I have accepted Jesus and we want to reach out to you. We want to give you some information about the decision that you have made and be able to help you get plugged into. If you're not within Lusaka, within our area, want to get you plugged into a church that will help you grow in your walk with the Lord. We're so glad that you made that decision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this point in time, I just want to encourage us with regards to giving. As we will collect our offering, as we'll have an opportunity to if it's look into God's word regarding our giving, we are able to do ministry today because you give. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. You see, God gives us the blessing of being able to work and save or spend or have wealth. So we do this for many things, for our children, for our community. We do this for ourselves. We work hard and we do it to honor God as faithful stewards. And you see, as stewards, we joyfully worship God each and every time when we give. It's an act of worship. So this morning, I'd like you to join us and just continue giving and supporting this great work, because you give, we are able to minister to people across this nation through outreach. I know yesterday we were able to minister to some frontline workers. It was wonderful ministry there. I know we've been able to reach out to different ministries and missionaries around the world, but also in this nation, because you give. And so I encourage you to give this morning. And as you give, we believe that the kingdom of God will continue being expanded and others will know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So in case you'd like to give, please make use of the details that are on the screen right now. You can make use of any mobile platform, or you can do it bank transfer, or you can come and give physically here at church, and we'll continue to see God do mighty, mighty works through us. Maybe as we come to the close of the service this morning, in case you have a need in your life, there are numbers on the screens. You can call for counseling, for prayer. You need to talk to someone, you need somebody to encourage you. Please make use of those lines. Oh, you're unwell, you're sick. Call those numbers. Somebody's waiting to be able to pray for you, to reach out to you and be a blessing to you. Well, we are so glad that you joined us this morning. We're so glad to know that God loves us. He does not condemn us. And therefore, we should not also walk and condemn others, but we walk in the love of God. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week as we look at Romans chapter 3. God bless you. Bye-bye.